Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend, Mr. Dennis Johnson. The number to call, 434-1790. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp message, it's 266-4862. Now, before I get into what's on my mind, main point, I want to commend some students at the Lord's School. Last night, I was privileged to listen to a debate. Youngsters were vying for the Lord's School presidency, and one young man and two young ladies, and I must say I was very impressed. And if that is a reflection of our future, then I'm feeling okay. They did quite well, and I want to wish all of them the best in their election. I think it takes place, it ends on Thursday night. So to the three persons vying for presidency, good luck to you from the Lord's School and keep up the good work. Whoever wins, I'm sure you'll do a good job representing your school and making the necessary changes. And speaking of elections, of course, everybody is talking about the by-election in St. George and North. And of course, there's so many other topics. I took some time out to listen to Brass Tacks a little bit on Monday. And there's so many different things happening in Barbados, in the world, that you just can't seem to keep up. I don't even know how Dennis gets it done, where he can read and he's abreast of everything. It just feels as if you're trying your best to keep up. If it's not crime, it's job loss, it's an election, it's COVID-19. It's so many different things, and every day people are complaining, genuine complaints, some of them not. But for the most part, a lot of Barbadians and worldwide, not just Barbados, people are feeling the effects of COVID-19, and it's basically destroying the whole world, and we are trying our best to rebuild. And speaking of that, COVID-19, in the back page of the newspaper, there is a stern warning from the chief medical officer as it regarding persons breaking quarantine. It's been something that's been on my mind from the time we started, because I felt that it needed to be monitored better. And I've seen government taking some steps to constantly improve the protocols, both locally and for travelers. And I'm very impressed with that. However, I will tell you that protocols usually fall under the whole concept of a living document, which means that they're subject to change even without prior notice. If the science changes, then the document would change. So I'm not here to knock the protocols. Anyone who sees the protocols and they want to read the protocols, rather, and they feel that they need to be improved, please feel free to share your thoughts. I'm sure government listens to this program, and I'm sure that they value, and they should value, your comments regarding anything to do with this country. And so I don't want to knock the protocols, but there are one or two that I got some questions asked this morning about being able to quarantine. And then when you get the second test, would that person, doctor, come to you? Or do you have to take a bus or use private transport to get to one of the places that you can get the COVID-19 test? I said that because I read a little article written by a gentleman, a visitor, stating that he took a bus to get his COVID-19 test, and he was negative, thank God. But what happens? How can they be transported? Is it that government officials, medical officials, will come to you for your second test at home or at your hotel? I understand that you can go to the polyclinic for free, but I also understand that that may be a problem, because people say that sometimes someone will come out and said, who's here for the COVID-19 and who's here for dressing, and everybody outside, and they're kind of probably all together. And I understand that that occurred too. I don't have any evidence that it actually happened, but it was that information was shared with me, and it would be good if we can hear from the polyclinics as to how they separate the testing of COVID-19 patients versus the other patients. And are they overwhelmed with the testing? Because about 2 weeks ago, because I believe the children are back from Ellerslie. Ellerslie School, the whole school shut down and a lot of people had to be tested. And I'm sure the polyclinics were overwhelmed. And government, I believe they're using doctors, medical doctors, not just from the QEH. Maybe they're using some other facilities. And if they are, they should continue that, because the polyclinics, in my opinion, should really be used for what the polyclinics should be used for. And that would be to assist those who can't afford, and the old people and new mothers, etc. And we don't want to have a case where the polyclinics are overwhelmed. So these are some of the things on my mind with the COVID-19 protocols. Again, I want to state that the government has issued some new protocols October 9th, and I think they are on the right track. And of course, as we go along and as things change, I would imagine they're going to be tweaked from time to time. So on that note, we'll take your first call down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good, man. Good to hear you, Joanne. I just want to also concur with what you have been saying about the COVID-19 protocols and people continuously, even when we had the major lockdown, breach the protocols and basically doing as they liked. And as far as people that would come in and wanting to go to get their checks done and stuff like that, I believe that measures should be put in place for those people to get transportation rather than take any risk of getting on the bus amongst other people, and the risk of infection is there because they don't know how badly they've been infected. Or so to avoid that, I believe that the powers that be should, as from the time they enter the airport, have them have something put in place for those people to go transport them from wherever they are straight to the COVID-19 center to have their necessary tests done and what have you, right? And that is something that should be paramount.
I think that's being done in terms of having to transport people. I think where the question lies is if you're asked to self-quarantine and you're awaiting a second test, you're at home, you live somewhere in St. Philip, should you, is someone coming to you to give you that second test? Because if it's self-quarantine, you should not be able to leave home until you get the second test. You shouldn't even get someone to drive you.
I agree with you on that. And that's another very good point that you've made there. As far as the self-quarantine, I for one was never for it, because a lot of people, as you would know, have breached their self-quarantine because you ain't got nobody outside standing outside your door guarding you like there's some guard or police. Mm-hmm. So it's obvious that people that say they're going to self-quarantine, a lot of them don't self-quarantine, and there's a lot of evidence of that. Hence, therefore, why this problem that you're trying to control is seemingly getting out of hand, because a lot of people are not really adhering to the protocols. Even people that live here are, you know, as we have seen over and over, even though that the protocols, some of them have been relaxed, which I don't think they should have been. And on top of that, to add to that, to finish off that point, this thing about what the Jeffrey Bostic is saying, that he don't think that the mask should be mandatory. I think that the mask should be mandatory because people are basically, they're not hearing. They're just as they like.
Don't you think that in the beginning, remember the Prime Minister spoke and Minister Bostic spoke, and the Prime Minister said, look, we're adults and you're hoping, this is in the beginning, because you don't want to use the heavy-handed approach. You give people the benefit of the doubt, even though I know it's a little tricky, it's a pandemic. You ask them to wear the mask. She admitted that she sometimes forgets, and we sometimes do. It's something that we have to make a habit moving forward. But when you recognize that people are not adhering, is then you take the second step and then you make it mandatory. So they didn't do it in the beginning, but based on this article at the back of the Nation newspaper, where the CMO now comes out about the quarantine breakers, that they will be prosecuted. I'm happy to see that. I thought that should have been there when we had the lawbreakers who were breaking the curfew. So now that I'm seeing that, I think Barbadians can feel a sense of relief that if you do something that you're not supposed to do in breaking these protocols, you will be punished. And I think that is important.
Well, fair enough. Yes, and in a way, I agree with you, but I still think, yes, the PM did say that we are all adults, and yeah, we are all adults in a lot of things, but a lot of us don't act like adults. So you have to treat people if they have kid gloves on. But yeah, they're
Well,
supposed to be
yes,
adults,
but
they don't do things that adults are
she
supposed to
was
do.
but what was happening with, and I agree with the approach in the beginning, you still have to speak with people first. You have to let them know what it is that they need to do before then coming down and saying, look, all of you, I'm going to do this. And then they're going to sound like dictators. So they allowed for people to at least communicate with them, I should say, in the beginning. And then now that we're seeing that some people are not doing what they're supposed to do, you take the next step and you do what you have to do. If they don't listen, then you do what you have to do. And I'm now seeing it. And thank God we're seeing it at a time, not as a knee-jerk reaction, because we don't have, to the best of my knowledge, community spread. But you're doing this now at a time to avoid all of that. So I'm glad I'm seeing this right now out today, actually.
Well, we'll just see what's going to happen going forward and how much they're really paying attention to all this. Anyways, my last point, because I'm sure you have a lot of other callers to get in there. As far as the St. George North by elections is concerned, I just want to say this, right? The Democratic Labour Party, if so, will take part in debates if they wanted to. If we don't want to take part in debates, there's no need for our people, certain moderators, as I've heard one this morning on another radio station, begging and pleading and trying to force the hand. A decision was taken for very good reasons. And if we don't want to take part in
What
a
was the
debate,
reason for not taking part in a debate?
because basically this by-election was haphazardly called, okay, number one, and people need time to prepare. Number two,
But
and as much
if
as I
you're
would
keeping
say,
abreast of all of the
just hold on a minute, Joanne, let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me finish. All right, that's as much as basically as I would say on that, right? Because I continuously hearing this all the time, even from past people working at the other station that are well out there. I've not called that particular name, and to me, I don't see what is the issue with that. Is if you want to do something, you do it. If you don't want to do nothing, because I believe this is a way to break the focus of what is going on.
But let me
And I
ask
just,
you a question
yeah,
before you
just let me
move on to
finish,
your next
then I
sub.
would hear you. Let me just finish off my little piece, then I would hear what you have to ask. Right? The focus will not be broken. We know what we have to do, and we will continue in the vein. Comrade Refer is doing a fantastic job. He's an excellent speaker, and he knows what he
Okay,
is about. That's what I would
well,
say
okay,
on
hold it
that.
right there 1 second. Let me ask you a question to
What's in the
backtrack a
back?
little bit. Are you still there? Clearly not. Well, I would say this in response to what he said, and which is unfortunate he didn't stay on the line. If you want to debate the issues and you are in opposition, or should I say an opposing party, then I believe that you should know what the issues are, because you're keeping abreast of what is happening in the country. So to say that it was called haphazard and you needed time to prepare, you're constantly speaking on issues. Other parties constantly speak on issues. So I don't see that being, in my opinion, a reason, a valid reason. But again, people are they have a right to choose. If they don't want to, then they don't have to. Personally, I think that there should be a combination of debates and town hall meetings to speak to the issues, because if a candidate, whatever candidate wins, the government candidate could win and may become a minister. So the issues in terms of how she would handle that should be out there to the public. And similarly, if the other candidate wins for the Democratic Labour Party, then I think people should want to know his position on various things, whether it's the economy, social issues, And not just the people of St. George North, because I'm seeing some comments on social media where people are saying, look, we it's not your business. You know, what happens in St. George North is everybody's business. It's part of Barbados. So that's my position on that caller. And I'm sorry that you did not stay on the line and allow me to respond as you had promised to. And we'll take our next call. Good morning, down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning, Joanne. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, I'm all right.
Wait, before you start, let me offer you my condolences on the passing of your mom. And I'm very, very sorry. My condolences to your family, okay?
Yeah, thank you. It is not how long you lived, but it's how you lived your life.
Exactly.
And she lived a good life, and she made sure that that good nature of hers became very contagious among her children. We are not perfect. None of us are, but we took in most of the teaching, if not all. And thanks again. I got a few things I have to talk about. One, I see the rent of the mass should be monitored. It should be. There's an old saying about when the horse gets up, the stable, no one catching all that. Okay? Two, I want to know I know I have been called to the Amherst School. What has happened to those children with those learning abilities? Where are they being housed? Are they being taught? That kind of thing. Three, it makes no sense to me having a child who some people refer to be a slow. I don't call it slow. If you put a child who is running at 5 miles per hour, the other children that's galloping at 15 and 20, it doesn't mean the child don't have the ability, you know. I see those children to be put together and taught. We have this tendency of doing away with people, whether it's a child or adult, because they're not living to the standards that we expect of them. And it is wrong. To me, it's a sin. And we need to stop that. We just can't discard people because of an ability to do something or not to do something. A debate. What really is a debate? To me, it is my version of it. An occasion where a political debate, where some people come together, talk pretty, try to impress upon others. But at the end of the day, all of the pretty talk, what do we see? As I always say, I'm not like most agents who are impressed with the way people speak. I am impressed by what people does for the masses, not just those who they're seeking to represent, but for everybody. And I always use the example of a bag of rice, where if I was a politician, I give the strict instructions, make sure everybody in the community get a bit of that rice, whether they support me or not. But I find that people label their representatives as being good based on what they do for them individually. To me, that's not good representation. To me, it's not. I can't agree with it. Another thing is deception against the laws of Barbados.
It depends if you're at court and you are testifying and you lie. I believe that is called perjury. So yeah, in that regard.
When a politician gets in parliament and makes these promises, he's protected by law, by parliament, laws of parliament. My concern is when you come in a public forum, on the public road, and you say these things, and can you, where you're not protected, and you're telling people things where they want to hear so you can get a vote, and I'm not targeting one party because all of them are guilty of it. I would like to know, because you come and you tell me something, and then you don't bring it, then they get kicked out of office. They can't tell me something that you had opportunities to do. I think when these things happen, somebody should be placed before the law court. because it's misleading people, it's deceiving people.
So you're saying that if a politician comes and promises you a road or a playing field and you don't get it, they should be locked up for not doing it?
Well, it's only what it says, how to put it. And while I'm on that subject, too, I want people to know that when a politician build a road or build a housing project, they're not doing you a favor. It's everybody's money, even theirs, even the opposition, even the labor who want best city that got to pay that. All of us contribute, mm-hmm. but they give the impression, I did this. They're just put there to manage. But more often than not, we see it in another way. I don't want to say that.
But here's the thing, sir. It's people like you, me, Dennis, the electorate. We give people votes. You know, they come and they sell themselves because that's what it is. It's a sales pitch. So whether the product is good or not, then that leaves to be, you know, after they win, you will then see if the product is worth it or not. But this is what happens. One of the things, and only this morning I was discussing this with someone early this morning about public relations as it relates to candidates. And for me personally, and I think moving forward, our children will not do politics or practice politics in the way that I'm seeing it over the years. First of all, if I'm running, which I would not, but let's just say it was me, I will not, and Dennis is my opponent, I will not be speaking about Dennis over and over and over again because bad PR is still PR. So every time I'm calling Dennis's name and Dennis doesn't do this and Dennis isn't worth this and Dennis isn't that, by the time somebody hears all of that and get to the polling station to put the X, they may not remember anything other than Dennis. And when you see Dennis's name, Dennis gets the X. My point is, free advice. If when you're on platforms, I really think you need to speak about yourself, what it is you can bring to the table, and refer to the person that is running against you or persons as my opponent or my opponents. Do not say their name, because when you keep doing it all of the time, then you are promoting the other person. That is how Donald Trump won the previous election. You know, so I just started getting that little 2 cents because I'm seeing things like on the back page of the paper, still waiting for an apology. We, at some point, you need to move on. And from that, that's just my little 2 cents. But again, I wish the candidates, well, you got to wrap up because we got to take a break.
Yeah, I'm going to be quick about this. Another thing, both parties, again, are guilty of it. When something is being done to benefit people who they're seeking to represent, they're trying to tear it apart. Rather than say this, when I get there, I will do better. I will do more. But no, they become critical of what is going to be beneficial for poor people. And finally, I want to thank Dennis for pulling me back from jumping in that pit yesterday.
He's laughing. He said, "You're welcome." Before I get back to the phone lines, I just want to be clear on something. Someone just wrote me to say that about the debates and if I said that this should be mandatory. I didn't say that. I just said that I felt that they could do it. It was no harm in it, in my opinion. But whether they do it or not is up to them. But the people in St. George North, the good people of St. George North, their problems are the same problems of the people in St. Philip South, North, St. Michael North. They want everything that everybody else wants. Jobs. I'm sure there are water issues up there, housing issues, food issues. You know, there are a lot of issues, and whoever wins to represent the area would certainly have to make sure that the people of St. George North and their needs are met. Whoever that person is, well, may the better person win, or should I say not the better person, may the person that the people vote for obviously will be declared the winner because we live in a democracy. So I just wanted to clarify that. I didn't say that debates were mandatory. I said that I felt that they could do it as well as a town hall meeting, and that the issues are issues that we have all been discussing over the last couple of years. And it should be no different in St. George North, the issues that Barbadians are currently being faced with. Down to brass tacks, you are on the air. Good morning. 1029, you are on the air.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of things I said. I hear you mentioned just now that the fact that the president of ICE is one because a lot of talk was about him. Where's to those effects? But I'm saying that you're not perfectly right. And the other fact
well,
that you
it was just my opinion.
But let me explain something to you. The Senate has issues dealing with that Clinton Fund. And she had more popular votes than Donald Trump, but she did not win the college votes in Florida.
Understand that.
Pennsylvania and Hawaii. You can get the most popular votes, but you have to get the college votes. And that is between the American election and our election. Our election is first past the poll. But I want to get here. You might know to our local election is by election.
Mm-hmm.
And you are suggesting that the Democratic candidate, Mr. Rufus, to a party debate. The first of all,
I didn't suggest, and I didn't even call names. I said I see nothing wrong with debates.
Oh, you see nothing wrong with debate. Oh, do we know that on the first case that Mr. Reefer was interested in politics, and this is something that they came to him at the last minute choice, and therefore Reefer did not have any time to really prepare.
But sir, any time that you throw your hat in a ring...
No.
On this level, you have to expect these types of things, so I don't understand you.
I totally disagree. I do not know if it was a last-minute choice. But you know, by the mayor, come on, CBC, to debate what? To debate here that for the last decade, and they bought trucks, and they bought buses, and the fix of the road, and for years, the road in St. George... north, where they fix it up, they come patch the wall there and patch the wall there, and then say that they fix the road. What I would like to hear if they are debating, and I would like to hear more to talk about this. The head of the World Bank had an article in 3 Star the Sun's paper go, and at the election platforms in St. George North, not a word was said by the Prime Minister Barbis, nor the same as Tony Moore, where the head of the Central of the World Bank said that due to COVID-19, that these third world countries, there will be no guarantee of debt relief. And he went on further to say the same article that the Prime Minister of Barbados, the Honourable Mrs. Mia Amuamuatli, should start looking at Plan B. I was waiting all the time to hear what is this Plan B on that St. George.
You want Ms. Moore to address that?
Well, she, Ms. Motley, speaking.
No, but you just said this is what you would like Ms. Moore to address.
No, I would like Ms. Martin to address it. She never mentioned a word of that.
Let me ask you something. What are your thoughts on a town hall meeting as opposed to televised debates for the people of St. George? No, so you can have...
No, I will not watch it. No, I will not listen to it. I cannot listen to somebody talking about your last decade.
No. I'm not. Unless you live in St. George North, I'm not referring to you. I'm talking to about the people of St. George North having... I mean, I know people do door-to-door. The candidates are doing that. But sometimes getting a few of them in the room, of course, social distancing being adhered to, and listening to their concerns. What about that as opposed to debate?
We know the problems in St. George North. We don't have to, not me, but the people in St. George North know their problems. For years, let me explain something to you. When the former Prime Minister, the now deceased, the Professor Oyafu was the Prime Minister about this. Glenn Clark was there for those years. There's a role leading from Mayfield to Providence, that new school up there. It's a sort of back road. Two cars cannot pass there. Just here, a couple of months ago, they had a big holding tank, and they sent some asphalt and passed it. You know, it's really rare, come back down here, like, anyhow, that road for years. The road there by the Glebe, the years that road was played. The road by Scott.
Mm-hmm.
15 years or more, when Mr. Oyafa, I know you were telling me that the people in St. George North can discuss this.
I'm saying that because there are two new candidates, that the people of St. George North, if they so choose, I don't know what the rules are, but I'm saying if the suggestion was a town hall meeting, if they don't want to do the debates, if town hall meetings is something, would be something that people would consider. It's just something I'm putting out there.
I'm glad that I'm not doing it because it's putting Reefer to come on CBC. And then to show this pomp and this saw, what you call it, acting and all this circus show. Mm-hmm. Then to push more and more the candidate of the Barbados Empire, because she was getting all this push. I am glad that he stayed away from that. Continue with what he's doing. He's doing well. He has a good support of the young people that are there. And Ms. Moore will tell you that she read to some people. And some people say they're not voting. So I do expect that this St. George now, by election, is going to be it's going to be a low turnout. But that'll be because people who are supporting Glenn Clark have said they don't want her. And therefore, they're going to stay away from the polls. So therefore, I don't know what you're going to bring with
on November 11th, we will see.
I'm not saying that she might not win, but I'm not saying that she's not going to win. Okay, got rigged last time, we did thousands of votes. Mm-hmm. And my last point before I go, though, mm-hmm.
I wouldn't really know, but then again, I may be turning senile. I don't know. And that may be just your answer right there, because I don't know. All right. Thank you so much. Dr. Brastax, you are on the air.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
There are four topics I would like to look at this morning. Now, there's no community spread of COVID in Barbados. Mm-hmm. No social distancing is being practiced on public transport. But can you explain to me why banks and other institutions are insisting on physical distancing?
Because, sir, you have to be realistic. You practice social distancing when you can. And, of course, there are times where it's not doable, like on an airplane. You have to sit next to people. What you do is you keep your mask on. You make sure you sanitize your hands. You follow the rules. And you get off the bus when you reach your destination. The banks now, because they have space, then they can do that. So I think... And I know, I think I thought I heard you with this before. So let me just say it again. You practice social distancing when you can do it. If there's absolutely no way around it, you must then wear your mask, wear it properly, sanitize your hands, and it's best not to have a conversation in the bus if you think you're going to lower your mask. Just say nothing and wait until you get to your destination. So I think we have to be realistic here. Life has to go on, and where we can make sure it's being done, we do it. And the places where we can't, we need to manage it as best as we possibly can.
So why is it being practiced in supermarkets and so on? At the beginning, it was being practiced.
How so? How is it not being practiced in the supermarkets?
But the only time you stand 3 feet away from anybody is when you're going to the cash register.
Correct, because you're in a stationary position for a long period of time. And that is where they obviously would want to do that. So when you are rolling through the aisles and you pick up a can of corn or two cans, unless you're like me and you're trying to compare prices and you spend 15, 20 minutes because you can't afford, most people just zoom by and they do their own thing and they keep the mask on and they bypass each other. You can't exactly have people 3 feet apart and everybody going for the same can of corn. You know, obviously they're going to be kind of close. I think common sense here, or should I call it, let me don't call it common sense. Applied sense is important during COVID-19. Again, it's not perfect. We're not going to get everything done 100%, but we have to work with what we have and do the best that we can. Can you do that?
All right. Okay, Joanne. The other point now I want to get.
Okay.
Now, if two persons are in a same-sex union for 5 years, mm-hmm. are they entitled to the same rights and privileges of a couple who are in a common law relationship for 5 years?
I think if the law allows for 5 years and over for heterosexuals, I think that same-sex union should carry the same benefits. That's my opinion.
All right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The final point now. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Truman speech, we were told that there's going to be a referendum on same-sex marriages. Now, what do you think is going to be the likely outcome of this referendum?
That I can't answer what the outcome would be, but I can tell you, based on all that is happening in the world, and particularly at home with crime and people not having jobs, a lot of hotel workers on the breadline still, Two people who engage, and I've said this, and God knows I've been over and over it, and I'll say it again. Two consenting adults happen to be the same sex. I think it's for them to decide what they want to do. And if you could, and if you or anyone, actually would like to challenge anyone, can tell me how two same-sex individuals having a relationship impacts you directly, if it stops you from eating, if it stops you from working, if it stops you from breathing. If someone can explain that to me, then okay, I'm sure I would be sold. But right now, having two men together or two females together and they love each other and they want to make sure that the law is there to support them, they can sign documents together, they can make decisions together, I see no reason for that not to happen. I think we need to take our minds out of the bedroom and deal with this for what it is. It's about legal rights, nothing else.
That's not what I was asking you.
No, that's what I'm saying, though.
We are having a referendum on same-sex marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to you, the outcome of this is a foregone conclusion.
No, you asked me a question, I said I couldn't answer it. So I answered, no, when you asked me the question, I did say I couldn't answer it, but I then said I can say this, and that is when I went on to say what I said. But please continue. Please continue.
I am saying that we are having a referendum on same-sex marriages, and the outcome is likely to be a foregone conclusion. And why are we not having a referendum on going to a republic? It was just a pronouncement made by the government. So could you explain those two things to me?
I'm not the government, sir.
If they spend money on a referendum on same-sex marriages, which outcome is likely to be a foregone conclusion, and they are doing nothing about going to a republic, it's just a pronouncement on the part of the government.
Well, I've heard other people ask that question about it. I'm actually wondering myself, and maybe people like Dr. Christina Hines and Peter Wickham can better expand on that, because I want to know what are the benefits of going to be in a republic. What is it that we will lose, or what will be added to that setup? Because I haven't really done a lot of research on it. I heard it just like everyone else, so I'm not quite sure. But for me, this morning, and probably every day, what's on my mind more so than going to Republic, more so than moving Nelson, more so than a by-election, would be the fact that people in Barbados right now, a lot of people are not working, and crime seems to be the order of the day every day. Only this morning, we heard about St. Leonard's School, and I am more concerned as a citizen about that than I am right now about anything else. But I do respect your concerns and your opinions, and I'm hoping that those who can answer those questions for you would call the program and give us that information. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. Brass tacks, good morning. Go ahead.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been speaking.
Yes, sir.
Now, first of all, I would like to... Sorry, I want to speak on the debate. But before I get there, I would like to say thanks to someone if you will grant me that favor. Now, Sunday night, I miss people's business because of the political situation in Barbados at the moment. So knowing that is get repeat, I listen to the repeat. And if Dennis Johnson and Ms. Hayes will give me the permission to say thanks to someone through you all, I'd be thankful. There's a lady that Dave Ellis, I think, was training for the last couple of weeks. Name is Hines. I heard her yesterday morning on the repeat of that program. And I will say this. She's like a bottle of alcohol that you have close to your nose. A new bottle. She's like a breath of fresh air. And I say that because I, Alvin, was accused for the last, say, 2 years or 4 months of being anti-protest there or the press and certain moderators. And I would like some of the moderators especially to listen to that lady. She's fair. She's balanced. I don't know where as she was out in the country for a long time. I understand she's at the University of Phillies. But she's so balanced. She's so fair. And I would like her to understand that I think like her. I like the way she's managed herself on these shows. Good enough for Miss Haynes and Miss Haynes, and I hope you have a good day, Miss Haynes.
Thank you.
Now let me get to my...
On her behalf, I want to say thank you.
Let me get to the reason for calling. Mm-hmm. People say that the environment that you raise up is the main thing in a person's life. And by raised by a stepfather and the essential mother, I know that that ain't true. And then raising my children, I won't say raising my grands, because my grands and mother around me on a daily basis. I know it's where you're brought up. That counts. At the tender age of about 12, which is over 60 years ago, I had a stepfather that was a Democrat, Mr. Garner from St. Philip. And he would take me with him to see that I learned a trade. And then, being a member of the DLP, I used to be around wherever the DLP is and everything, I'd be there too. And I remember in the days when the DLP headquarters was on Robert Street, he would take me there sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays to paint a wall, because he was a mason by profession. And I say that to let listeners understand that I am a Democrat because of what I was brought up in. What a witness. The development that I see in Barbados when I was a young man going to school at the University of King Street and Richmond's Gap, and the opportunities that I never could ever get because of the time to compare what my children and grandchildren can achieve now. And I watched the Democratic Labour Party bring this country from where, you know, it was to where it is now with the help of people like Tom Adams. Because when they talk about leaders, I talk about leaders that I see what they do, not from what they say, a lot of talk. I deal with what I witness. And I will say, and I tell people all the time, Barbados had three great leaders. Not that the West was bad, but great. Errol Barrow, Tom Adams, and Sir Grantley Adams. And I will say this here. When the Prime Minister announced these three debates, being someone involved in politics all my life, I first questioned it. Why she did that? That's not her job. No, if she had that on her mind, she should have gone to someone responsible for the Election and Boundaries Commission and asked them if they could do it. That's not her job. And she also went to even the voting booth, telling you what should be happening in the voters' booth and thing. And I said to myself, what is going on in Barbados? And this is the thing that I don't understand the press for, because they should ask her why she did it. So let me get now to the debate directly. If you listen to the platform of the Barbados Labour Party, which I usually do, I listen to everybody. The impression that I get from this whole debate is trying to embarrass Reefer because they don't believe he can manage it. Yesterday, the manager of the campaign, go and listen to him. He is giving the impression that the Democratic Labour Party is shunning the debate because they don't want Mr. Reefer to look bad. Call Mr. Reefer is what Mr. Bradshaw said. That is the opinion that I have. Reefer is what Mr. Bradshaw described him as. So let me make him look bad. Let me bring this debate. And let me tell you why I'm so annoyed about the press in this country. That then I'm told that this same press is to interview these these candidates. This chairpress that will not do their work. You follow even the what I listened to yesterday that I praised Ms. Tynesville at the beginning. There were four people on that panel. Peter Wickham, Mr. Buffett, Mr. Bell, and Ms. Hines. You go back and check all of the other ones going right back 2 years and 4 months. You mean that the CBC, because you got blamed CBC for this, and the Prime Minister only know that the opposition got a say or would like to say something only now in a debate? How about for the last 2 years, Mr. Franklin? You could only hear Mr. Franklin when you listen to the Senate on CBC. You don't hear Mr. Franklin in the night when people come in from work to hear what Mr. Franklin said. They were not broadcasting. Mr. Affley, Mr. Franklin, Ms. Tate, Ms. Drakes, Robert Rogers, all of those first names that I just called, mm-hmm. when you hear them in the Senate, you hear outstanding contributions. You don't hear one from the night on CBC TV.
No, can I ask you something, Alvin?
Yeah.
Do you really think that great speakers make great doers?
No.
Because, exactly, I don't either. I think that there are people who have the gift of the gab. Some people have memorized the Oxford Dictionary and can sound pretty good. And so, generally speaking, there are a lot of people, and history shows us that spoke well but did nothing. And there are a lot of people who don't speak at all, but they're doers, or they're not very articulate, but it doesn't mean that they lack good judgment and understanding. You might not be able to deliver your message in the way that somebody else does, using all of these fancy words, but you're able to deliver in a way that a simple person can understand, and you can actually do things better and faster than the person that calls big words. But Dennis is...
Now that you say that, may I ask you a question?
Yes, quickly, because we have to break, but go ahead.
What do you say by listening to a couple times you hear Mr. Weaver, they can't speak?
I would like to reserve my opinion here about who can't, who can't. You see, here's the thing.
Let me just say,
Alvin, I'm begging you. Let me just say, I would not be a person to ask that, because I gauge people on personality and character, and not necessarily only the things that come out of their mouth. I really don't.
That is what I meant, Ms. Hayes.
But you asked me.
I'm not here to ask you about how he and his wife or his children.
No, but that's the thing. I would not pass an opinion in that regard.
On his political statements for the time being. You mean that you can't tell me well?
I think that Mr. Reefer, as well as Ms. Moore, I think that they both have good intentions for the people of St. George North.
You asked me
based on what I hear.
I am speaking
based on what I hear.
I am not dealing with his intentions.
You see, here's the sad part about you. You need to hold on a minute.
I ask you a simple question.
But you're also telling me how to answer it?
No, I'm not asking you. I ask you for the couple times you hear him speak.
Mm-hmm. No, you should have asked me first if I heard Mr. Reefer speak.
Okay, sorry.
That's the first thing you should ask.
Let me move on before I get off the air.
I think you should. Because we got a break.
I thought you had heard him.
I didn't say I did or didn't. I said that should have been your first question.
Okay, let me say this to you, Ms. Hayes. If Mr. Phillips, and I'm picking on him first, because from the time the Prime Minister announced the debates, he was the first to jump on that he'd be there. I would like Mr. Phillips to know, I speak to him directly, my friend. When I say my friend, I know him. If he didn't believe that he should be on the TV and radio in the last 2 years, why it is that the only people you could hear on, especially CBC TV, is even people who nobody voted for that have been given positions in this government on the radio and TV all the time, and people like Mr. Phillips, and Ms. DePisa, and Affley, and Mr. Franklin, you don't hear them at all on CBC TV. But now, all of a sudden, you're hearing the ducking a debate and a docking. Then that, if you have
all right, but Abba, we're going to have to leave it there because we're way past commercial time. We really are. One WhatsApper here says, actually came to my phone, a debate helps people see how well the candidates are able to persuade and communicate. It also shows and shows up undesirable characteristics like focus, etc. Here's the thing about that. People will show you what they want to show you when they want something. And it doesn't necessarily mean that's who they are. And that's one thing I'm mindful of. The other day, I was conducting a little interview, and I said to the person, no, you're not going to sit across from a table from me. You're going to come out with me and walk and talk. And you wanted them to be comfortable because you wanted to see who they really, this person and the true self. Because when you sit down in front of someone and you're trying to sell something, it may not really be you. You know, whether that be politics or sales and or debate, I believe it's, yes, I understand this WhatsApper. It's important that people may get to see it, which is true. But there are people who can speak really well and can fool anyone. And that happens often. For me personally, you know, if there's a track record together with the words coming out of their mouth, and just remember, communication is not about big words. It's about people being able to understand what you're saying, and then they want to do something about it. They want to respond. They want to change the way they eat. They want to change the way they live. That is what makes a great communicator, someone who's able to persuade you in a language that you can understand.